Father, I want to thank you for each and every person who's come today. And I want to thank you for each and every person who has already testified. And now I want your Spirit to do exactly what you told me you would do if I did this. For Lord, I fear for my people's spiritual welfare. And I don't even know if they understand that that's an absolute true statement. It's as if every person in this room is my son, my daughter. And I don't know how you can give someone a sincere, honest burden like that, Lord, but you have. And I want you to clearly show us from Scripture that Satan is the one that has made us think that there's something wrong with Sabbath school, or there's something unnecessary about Sabbath school, or that I'm better off in just coming to the church service, the worship service, and I'll be all right. I want you to unveil now his deception through me, Lord, so they can clearly see that this is not you speaking. And Lord, I am also so glad that you are one who understands the struggles that we all have. How exhausted we are, how tired we are. And I pray that you would break through with spiritual discernment, especially if we have little children. For Lord, they are being picked off in public schools and in neighborhoods where friends who don't know you tell them things that they see on TV, that they found in magazines or books, or what they've watched in movies, that we would not allow our children to see or hear or talk about. So please help us now, Lord, and use me in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We're going to begin reading at verse 23 of Matthew chapter 22. And we are only going to look at one verse in particular after we read the story so you can get the context. And we'll look at three things about that verse. Actually, I just one thing, but I have three questions for you. Do you have Matthew 22? Children, open your Bibles. The Word of God, so that it can speak to your heart as you follow along and read with me. And I want the children to know that these bookmarks were put in the bulletins for the children to sign and date also. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. And they asked Jesus, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up a seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the seven also, and the third unto the seventh. And the last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, Jesus, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Now I want to ask you first a quick question. Very simple. And I bet you'll all get it right. The question is, who was speaking? Who was speaking? No, you were right the first time. It's just that half of you were asleep. Who's doing the talking here? Jesus is. Okay, that was simple. Jesus is the one who's doing the talking. Actually, I didn't read the scripture, did I? No wonder you couldn't get it right. Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, neither the power of God. Who is speaking here?
Jesus.
All right, who is Jesus speaking to? Who are the Sadducees?
Those who don't believe in the resurrection.
Okay, I like that. Those who don't believe in the resurrection. But let me stop for a second, because this should blow all of us out of the sanctuary. The Sadducees were the intellectual group of God's people. The Sadducees are the ones that prided themselves in a better understanding of Scripture than the Pharisees. And that's true. Now get this. They didn't believe in the resurrection, angels, or a heaven. And it was from the priestly, powerful, affluent class of the Sadducees that the high priest had to be picked from. I see some of you are catching it. Okay? And if you haven't caught it yet, let's just look and see exactly what Jesus said to these Sadducees, who were the highly educated, technologically trained, innovative leaders of God's chosen people. What did Jesus say to them? He said, "You do err." See, they sat there and asked them. They set this whole scenario up, then asked the question and hoped they could trip up Jesus. I want you to forget the resurrection. I want you to focus on who spoke Jesus, who he's speaking to, the Sadducees, and what he said to them. In plain English, by the way, it is, "You're wrong. You're wrong. You don't understand." We're talking to those professors of the universities. He said, "You're wrong." He wasn't talking to the riffraff of the marketplace. He was talking to the elite of Israel. He said what? "You're wrong. You're wrong. Ye do err." And the question in my mind is, why? And then Jesus gave him the answer. He said, "You don't know the Scriptures." Brothers and sisters, if we don't know the Scriptures, we are going to err. That the most intellectual, highly trained, professional group of individuals in which the high priest was picked from, by the way, Caiaphas was a Sadducee. And let me take a time out and go over here. And they didn't believe in the resurrection and afterlife and angels? I want to see more of your faces indicate that you're starting to catch on. That this professional group of intelligent people could be absolutely wrong. You do err. Why? You don't know the Scriptures. Why? Because you make things how you want them to be. For example, "I don't need to go to Sabbath school. I need more sleep because I work so hard during the week. And if I just get a little more sleep, I'll get more out of church service. I don't know what it is. Oh, it's such a hassle on Sabbath morning." Let me tell you something I said to my wife once, so that you'll know I fully understand. I told Jenny, "Sabbath morning is the most despised and hateful time of the week for me." We had two little boys in diapers. Roland was one of them. And getting up and getting dressed and thinking about the church and the sermon and Jenny trying to get all this done. I look back now and think I relied too much on her, put too much pressure on her. It was always hurry, rush, rush. We got to go. We got to do this. And I hated it. I hated it. But you know what? Because I was the pastor, I had to be at church on time. And I can now look back because, yeah, Roland's potty trained now. He's not in diapers. And I don't have that problem in the morning like I used to have. My poor wife, the pressure I put on her, I'd give anything to be able to go back and relive those years. And I would have said, "Lord, you never fail me on sermons. this last minute touch up I'm going to forgo, and I'll get Roland dressed, I'll get Samuel dressed, just help Jenny take care of herself, instead of me saying, you got to do this, you got, because I got to do this and I got to do that. And now I can see where if you weren't the pastor, you could say, you know what, I'm not going to Sabbath school, it's too early and too much work, I'll go later. And by the way, Brenda, when you told your testimony, you left out your story of how somebody asked you to come. You weren't coming to Sabbath school. And you asked somebody asked you to play a part in Sabbath school, and you didn't want to do it, but you said okay. And ever since she did that part, she started coming back to Sabbath school. Now she's in Sabbath school. And I want you to know that Jesus looked at the most educated group of individuals who were the most powerful class representing the Israelite community, and He said, you're wrong because you don't know the Scriptures. That's what Sabbath school is all about. Now you can tell me, the teacher, oh, he's boring, or I don't like this, I don't like that. Well, we're very fortunate at Paradise, unlike where I was brought into the church. We have 5 different classes plus that you can choose from. Where I was brought into the church, there was only 1 Sabbath school class. You can choose here. You can even go to the young adult or the youth, and you could be an old person and no one's going to say anything to you. But we're to learn about the Scriptures. Look what Jesus said to them. You are wrong. Why? Because you don't know the Bible. You think you know the Bible. These are they that testify of me. And what was He saying by that? He was saying, if you knew your Bible, you would know that I am who I say I am. These are they that tell about me, and you're rejecting me. You are wrong. You don't know your Scriptures. And I'm going to ask you a quick question, and then I'll show you. What is the ramification of being wrong because you don't know your Scripture? What's an outcome of that? Oh, yes, Donna. See, a regular Sabbath school attender said, you don't know the power of God. Oh, my brothers and sisters, please let me tell you what's happening. Satan has stolen a march on the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the majority of our people think that they can make it spiritually without coming to Sabbath school. That day is over, folks. Satan is working twice as hard as he ever worked. He's had 6,000 years of preparation. He is now bringing the final forces to bear upon us. And too many of us are sound asleep in our seat. Why do you think there's 7 churches in the book of Revelation, the last one called Laodicean, and the Laodicean church is accused of, you think you are rich and increased with goods and in the need of nothing, but you don't even know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. And because I was a pastor, I'm forced to come. And because of that, I have all these years behind me of blessings that I received in spite of my attitude when I arrived. I'm begging with you to come so that you can be fortified in Scriptures. You can be encouraged. You can be challenged. And you can be a closer part of our community. Am I saying this because I take count in the sanctuary? No. I'm saying this because I'm afraid it's reflection of how many may not be ready for the time of trouble when it arrives.
Amen.
And I have not been sent here thinking of myself. I am here because God has given me the ability to love you so deeply. I will say something you don't like because I can't stand the thought that under my watch, Jesus lost one of His soldiers. And that's what Satan is doing. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul wrote to the young Timothy who was a striving minister. It was... It was an incredible mentorship. Paul met this young man, fell in love with this young man, and mentored him. And here he is in prison, and he wrote to Timothy, and he said, study, read it with me, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, those of you who put your Bibles out like I do when it's time to study my Bible, I have different versions, you will know that the vast majority of the other versions, except for King James and New King James, says be diligent. Doesn't say study. Just so you know, the Greek word there that King James translates study is an appropriate translation. The others see it also. One of the alternative definitions of that very same Greek word is be diligent. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. Amen. Sweat over it. Be concerned about it. So I don't care if you reject the interpretation study to show yourself approved. I'm all right with that, because the other side of the coin is be diligent to show yourself approved. But I want you to look at the last phrase he told Timothy, that young striving minister. He said, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's how we show ourselves approved to God. And notice what it says in the Authorized Standard Version. Handling aright the word of truth. In the Bible, in basic English, giving the truth, the true word, in the right way. New American Standard, handling accurately the word of truth. In the New International Version, who correctly handles the word of truth. The New Revised Standard Version, rightly explaining the word of truth. In the Revised Standard Version, rightly handling the word of truth. And in the what does that say, Michael?
It says que distribuye bien la palabra de la verdad.
I know it says that. What does it mean?
Oh, I can't remember either.
What does it mean? Okay, the word of truth. Okay, that's the Spanish Bible. Then we have the translation New Testament. What's TCN? You threw me off now. Thanks a lot, man.
I thought you were asking for the version.
No, I didn't want the version. I put the Spanish up there for the folks here that can read that to know that the Spanish version says the same thing, doesn't it?
Amen.
Rightly dividing the word of truth, handling the word of truth, explaining the word of truth, sharing the word of truth. And then the TCNT, accurate in delivering the message of the truth. And finally, the World English Bible says, properly handling the word of truth. Folks, Sabbath school is for this purpose. That's why we have Sabbath school. And so I take you to the covenant, my covenant with Jesus. Please take your card. I want you to ponder this. If the Spirit of God is stirring your heart, I want you to sign it before. I don't want you to delay. I know what will happen. By the way, you know where I got this? Do you know where I got this? Go to Nehemiah. It says they all signed a covenant. Go to Ezra. They all signed a covenant. Go to Jeremiah. They all signed a covenant. They made a commitment at the moment they made it, and it says they all signed on the dotted line. Why? Because human nature will get you to forget or delay, and you won't do it. But when you do it, your conscience will bother you. By the way, did I say come to Sabbath school the rest of your life at 9:15?
No.
What did I say? One quarter. And you already missed today. Shame on you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to sign it and date it. By the way, notice you're not handing it in. Don't put your name on it. Put it in your Bible or whatever book, God forbid that it's TV Guide, that you open the most. So that every time you do, you'll remember you made this commitment to Jesus. And when you start coming, the blessings you receive will be proof that what we said today was absolutely correct. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for each and every person you sent today. It wasn't coincidence or by an accident. And I pray that as we ponder the resurrection that the Sadducees didn't even believe in, that we would understand that who could know better than Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, our great need of knowing the Bible and availing ourselves to every opportunity the church offers for us to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Father in heaven, let the Spirit now move upon hearts that signatures will be affixed and dates would be stated on this beautiful bookmark, and that a revival and reformation results like never before, because we know you're coming soon, Lord, and we have to do all we can to break out of our Laodicean straitjackets that we're all in, including me. So Lord, move now in a mighty way. Shake the room if you have to scare people out of their wits. And then we will give you the praise and the honor and glory. And thank you for hearing this prayer, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2010. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.